I'm David Baddiel. I'm a writer and a comedian and a Jew.
I'm Saeeda Varsi. I'm a businesswoman and a politician and a Muslim.
Jews and Muslims always seem to be in the news or on the news. Lots of people talk about us, and this is us talking about ourselves.
The kind of things that people say don't touch, We are going to go there.
I mean, I think Jews and Muslims are talking about these things, but I think they're not talking about them together because they're worried that if they do, sparks might fly. A Muslim and a Jew go there.
Find us wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, lovely listeners. Welcome back to Season 5 of Therapy Works. I'm Julia Samuel, author, psychotherapist and newfound podcaster, joined by my amazing daughters.
Hi, I'm Emily.
And I'm Sophie.
Join us every week as we dive into our therapy room, sharing stories from voices both known and unknown. Together, we'll navigate life's challenges.
Get ready for deep conversations about real struggles. We're firm believers that sharing stories isn't just cathartic, it's profoundly healing.
Absolutely. As fellow psychotherapists, we're here to expand your understanding of therapy and its transformative power.
After each chat, Emily, Sophie and I will reflect on lessons learned, offering insights for your own life.
Our mission? Prove that even tough conversations can be a source of growth, resilience and hope.
Whether you're a long-time listener or a first-timer, we are thrilled to have you with us. Each episode aims to leave you with something valuable.
So no more waiting. Let's dive into this week's episode, Unpacking Life's Challenges Together. Welcome to Season 5 of Therapy Works.
Hello, Josephine Hughes. It is so lovely to have you on our podcast. Do you want to tell our listeners a little bit about you? I know a little bit about you already. I have advanced knowledge, but for the people listening.
Yeah, sure. So I am by training actually a UK therapist, although I don't work in therapy anymore. What I do is I help therapists with their businesses. And the reason I'm really delighted to be here today is because I wanted to share with people my experience of my two kids coming out as transgender women, which happened about 8 years ago now. And I wanted to share what that experience was like, because I think for there's increasingly a number of parents who are facing this particular issue. And I'd love to be able to share what I've learned through it and what the process was like, because I think people don't necessarily sort of understand what it's like for parents. So I wanted to just share my thoughts about that.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. I mean, I think definitely in my clinical practice, it has something that I think has sort of ballooned. I started practicing seeing children and teenagers, I don't know, about 13, 14 years ago.
Yeah.
And I would say probably since around 2013, 2014, so the last 10 years, I have just seen much more of not just transgender teens, but gender questioning teens who are just sort of exploring where they are on the gender spectrum. And I've seen quite a few parents as well who it is, you know, it's a hard thing to hear, I think, for many people. So do you want to tell us a little bit about your experience with your daughters and what that was like for you?
Yeah, sure. So it's interesting that you said since about 2013, because my daughters both came out in 2015. So that sort of gives a little bit of a timeline as well. And at the time, at that point, it wasn't really sort of being talked about very much. So although they were aware that they were trans, I had absolutely not a clue. So they were a little bit older. So the youngest one came out to me just before her birthday. So we've just sort of gone through that anniversary. She was going to be 17 on her next birthday. And she came out about a week or so before. And I just had no clue, no understanding of it. Didn't know anything about anything to do with transgender, apart from, you know, years back knowing of somebody who was an academic who was transgender. But apart from that, didn't really know anything about it. And she told me, so at that point, obviously, she was living as a boy, but said, "Mum, I think I'm a girl." And honestly, I just went into like complete shock, really, because it was so unexpected. So at that point, fortunately, I had the presence of mind to say, you know, we always love you. We'll always support you. And that was actually, I'm so pleased I was able to say that, because she was quite scared. And I think this is the thing for young people coming out to their parents. It's a really, really scary thing to do, because so many young people, as you're probably aware, get rejected by their families. And so for many young people to actually be brave enough to come out to their families, it's a really, really big step. That sort of happened in the January. And then in the May, my oldest, who was also living as a young man at that point, she was 21, she came out and told us that she was transgender, but she didn't
know. That's a lot. A lot in a like few month period.
That's right. But they didn't know about each other at that point, because we hadn't talked about it generally as a family. We were still sort of like taking it in between us and my youngest daughter. We hadn't told her siblings.
And they hadn't spoken to each other?
No. No, so neither of them knew about each other. So, I mean, in some ways that was sort of quite reassuring, because you think, well, it isn't one sort of saying it for whatever reason.
They obviously, your siblings influence each other, don't they?
Yeah. So you sort of think, no, it was completely genuine on both sides. Although at the start, as a parent, you sort of hope that they've got it wrong, because what happened with me, I'm not saying this applies to all parents. I mean, I'm a certain age, so I think sometimes parents who have younger people, they're more open to their kids being transgender. But I think for me, you know, I was sort of like, oh, goodness me. You know, I was a young person sort of back in the 80s when Boy George, dressing as Boy George did, was like a real sort of, wow, that's amazing, you know, that sort of thing. So, you know, just really not very diverse aware, I don't think you could say. So it was a bit of a shock when the second one came out as well.
Right. Yeah. And I think sort of what you're speaking to is, I think, what many parents' reaction is, which is fear and also a kind of questioning of, is this just a phase? You're a teenager, your hormones are all over the place. You know, so much of being a teenager is about working out your identity. And I think what I would say is that my experience is that I think for a lot of teenagers now, part of working out their identity now is their sexual identity, but also their gender identity. And so there are some teenagers who this is the part of their process of working out who they are. That is not the same as being transgender, although some are in that umbrella. Some teens will be transgender. But I think what I would say to parents is that your reaction is the same, whether it turns out they're just questioning their gender identity. I think what you want to do is allow them the space to be who they are in that moment. And the more you are able to accept who they are, the more they are able to be the person they're kind of meant to be, whatever that looks like.
Yeah, that's a really interesting perspective on it. Because I think sometimes as a parent, I think what you do is, it's especially if you're sort of somebody who can feel quite anxious, is you go to worst case scenario. And that was where my head went straight away that first day. I thought, that's it. She's going to be having an operation.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's the other big fear, right? Like my child has come out with trans, suddenly they're going to be taking medication, getting top surgery.
Yeah, that's it. And surgery.
Maybe you can sort of speak a little bit about the sort of misconception of that as a process, that you can just turn up at a GP and suddenly your 12-year-old is going to be given testosterone.
No. No, that is not going to happen.
Absolutely not.
No, no. Because young people under 18 can't be prescribed any medication now under the NHS. There is a private route available, but it is a private route.
Even the private route, it's not that you can just turn up at a private GP and say, oh, I want to start hormone treatment. It's a long process that's really thorough in terms of really exploring what it means to take hormones and really making sure, like, it's not a one-step process.
Yeah, it is complicated to go down that route, you know, and people aren't seen quickly as well. That's the other thing. There's a waiting list. So there's always time, I think. That's the other thing to say.
Sometimes you have trans teens that actually really don't have time in terms of their mental health and how being in the wrong body is really impacting their mental health.
Yeah, and it does have those sorts of effects. So, and I think that's another worry for parents. So what we're talking about when you say about not having time is that children's mental health can really suffer while they're waiting, and they really do need as much support as possible, which is, I think, why people like yourself are so important. It's really helpful for teens to have someone to talk to about these sorts of feelings and being able to explore it and to have the support to help them while they're waiting. Because I think, you know, when you are exploring your identity, or you really believe that you are transgender, you want that acknowledged. And I think there's that sort of pressure. And I know with my youngest daughter, part of the reason why she came out when she did was because she said it would be better for me to have medication now, sooner rather than later. And she was right. But in fact, what happened is she waited anyway. And she was lucky enough that even when she went on the waiting list, because it was back in, she probably went on the waiting list around 2016, 2017, she got seen quite quickly. Whereas now anybody who's on the NHS waiting list, it's a much, much longer wait. But in fact, she actually, for one reason and another, didn't actually start medication until she was actually a fully formed adult. So she's approached medication a bit like any adult would do. So the thing is even if children were to be prescribed anything, it would be puberty blockers rather than anything that would, like testosterone or estrogen, it would be puberty blockers to give them time to decide.
Right. And puberty blockers, correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding of puberty blockers is that as soon as you stop taking the puberty blockers, your body will go naturally through puberty of the biological sex that you've been assigned.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah, that's my understanding.
Yes. So I think a lot of people have fear of things being not reversible.
Yeah, it does have an effect, but they will go back to being who they really are supposed to be, as in what their bodies...
Their biological.
Yeah.
Yes.
You have to be so careful with the language. I always get it wrong.
We're all just doing our best, I think, with the language. But I think that... what is really, really important for people to know is that for people who are transgender, that's actually not a choice. That's, you have been born into the wrong body. And I wonder what's that like as a parent?
Yeah. So I think, you know, in saying how my head immediately went to that place of thinking about medication, because, you know, you have this beautiful little baby, you see them as a boy or a girl, and as far as you're concerned, they're perfect. But when they come out and they tell you that they've been born in the wrong body, you go through this process of thinking about how you'd seen them as perfect when they were born. And there's like this process of having to let go of your attachment, really, to who you thought they were. Yeah, it is a loss. And I think I found that a really difficult aspect when my kids first came out, because at that point, quite a lonely place to be, because you're not really ready to talk about it generally, because obviously, you know, you are wondering if it's a phase. You are wondering if they're going to turn around next week and say, nah, I've actually changed my mind. And it just felt like such a big thing to be dealing with. And I wasn't sure what people's reaction would be. And I imagine now, you know, 8 or 9 years on, it would probably be even worse for parents, because there's so much that's said about transgender people that's really quite negative. There's a lot of sort of stigma attached to it. And so it's actually quite difficult to speak about it more generally. So it was quite a lonely place to be. I felt...
Like, it sounds like you were sort of trying to manage... two different things in a way. One was the loss of the child that you thought that you had, and the adjustment to like having two sons to having two daughters. It's a huge psychological adjustment, and it sounds like you're really doing your best to kind of be with them and support them, but you are still managing your own feelings. And then on the sort of other side is the places where you would want to be able to get support so that you are able to support them in their transition and kind of manage your loss. There wasn't really any kind of support out there, because there wasn't any other people who had really had the same experience as you.
Yeah, that's it. And what I find now, because, you know, since they came out, I after a little while, I found a Facebook group. And there's one Facebook group for younger children. And what I found on there was that the parents were much more sort of like, yeah, it's okay. You know, but they're often talking about little children who are exploring their identity rather than older children.
So sort of going to school, gender expression, really.
Yeah. And I don't know if this is true, but what I felt was that, you know, they'd had less time to sort of think of their child as a particular identity, whereas, you know, mine was 17 and 21, they were their grown adult selves, and suddenly there's this whole rewriting of the past. So I'd always thought of them as a boy, but they were actually girls all along. And that was sort of quite a lonely place to be. But it was when I've started to meet other parents of adult children that I discovered that my feelings were shared, and they're actually quite common. To have that sense of loss and readjustment is quite a common feeling amongst parents. I think there's a couple of things I just want to quickly say. One is that it's really difficult for parents to talk about it, and sometimes because their child has said, please don't talk to anybody about it. And sometimes a child will come to one parent and tell one parent, but they're frightened about telling the other parent. So you can't even talk to your partner about it. And you can't talk about it externally because perhaps the transgender person is not telling anybody yet. Or perhaps even you can't talk about it because the person who is transgender is passing as the other sex. So passing, you know, that's the expression where we say, you know, people see like a trans man and just see them as a man. They don't realise that actually they were biologically female. And that means parents can't talk about it because what they'd be doing is they'd be disclosing.
Sort of outing them as a...
Outing them, yeah. As a
biologically
different
yes.
who they are. Yeah, so as parents, yeah, you're right. You haven't necessarily got that support network that you would normally turn to. And that can feel quite lonely.
And how did you manage that? And how, because I know you have your own podcast, Gloriously Unheard.
Gloriously Unready,
where you share some of these experiences. So it sounds like you have sort of found a way to connect to other people and relate your experiences in a way to make other people less lonely. And I wonder what that journey is from sort of that quite lonely place to where you are now.
Yeah. So I think the really sort of helpful thing was meeting other parents, because suddenly I think I felt quite guilty about the way I was feeling, because, you know, the most important thing for me was supporting my children. And transgender people, and
there's lots of statistics out there as well, isn't there, around the importance of supporting your transgender child. And I think the statistics are that the mental health risk of not accepting is multiplied by, I think, 2 or 3 times if they don't have an adult in their life who is supporting them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. So it felt that in fact, that's what kept me going at the start, was just thought, you know, what do they need? What they need is they need that unconditional love. That's the most important thing. Whatever they're going through, they need that unconditional love. Fortunately, my husband was very supportive as well. And I've interviewed him on the podcast, and he said, the thing that you've got to remember is, yes, you're very worried about them making a mistake, but if they make a mistake, they're going to really need you. So at the point at which they maybe acknowledge that they've made a mistake, it's going to be very difficult for them. And at that point, they're going to need you as well. So don't burn the bridges.
Exactly.
You know, keep
And if you've sort of, if you'd had a very negative reaction, then actually being able to come to you at that point would have been really challenging.
Yeah.
And also the reality is that most transgender adults don't change their mind.
No. And, you know, I look at my kids now, and they are really fulfilled and happy in their transgender identity. You know, they are women as far as I'm concerned. This is who they are. It's really interesting because certainly with my younger one, she said it wasn't that she always knew. She just knew she was different and she had to find a label for it. And when she found that transgender, she just thought, oh, yeah, that's it. She said it was like
a relief.
Drop.
Yeah, like, phew, now I understand who I am. I'm a female. It makes sense. My experience makes sense.
Yeah. But there was also a bit of a, oh, sort of moment for her as well, because she thought, now I've realised this, there's no going back, you know. But the other one told me that actually she'd always known. And with her, there was always this sense of like a little sort of bundle of anger inside her almost. Mm. And everybody picked up on it. And a lot of people have said since she came out and she's been in her identity, how she, that's gone. It's just, you know, she sort of mellowed. So it was always there, I think, inside, but unable to be expressed. So it's been a positive outcome for them. And I think, you know, if you read transgender people's reactions, they say, you know, why do parents say that they're grieving? Because, you know, I'm still here. You haven't lost me.
And actually, I am being the person that I really fully am. And I was really disguising myself before, yeah, or having to exist in this version of myself that wasn't really me.
Yeah.
And therefore, like, why can't you be happy being myself when I've, yeah, not been able to be myself for my whole lifetime?
That's it. And I think it's just that, being able to put yourself in the other person's shoes, really. And for me, it's about being able to put myself
hard
in their
shoes. Hard when you're a teenager, and hard when you're a parent too.
And that's it. And I think what we discovered, and one of my friends, so, you know, obviously, because I'm a therapist, I've got friends who are therapists. And one of my friends said to me, and it was absolutely brilliant, I just found it so helpful. She said, if you can see them like books, and all that's happening is they're changing the cover of the book, because inside they are the same person. And that is so, so true, because you sort of imagine that they're suddenly going to change overnight somehow. You know, they're suddenly going to go from, I mean, mine are sort of real, you know, they're into their computer games and their programming and all gaming, all that sort of stuff. And I sort of, the thing is, there's lots of young women now who are into their gaming. But when I was growing up, the boys did the computing and the girls didn't. But anyway, so I sort of imagined that there was going to be some sort of personality change. Of course, there wasn't.
They were suddenly sort of going to be really into unicorns or something.
Yeah. I mean, actually, the funny thing is the older one, she's seriously into, oh dear, I can't remember the name, you know, the little horses, My Little Ponies. That's a whole other thing that some of them are into, and she knows all the names, you know, and I never realised. So it's a sort of secret thing. But yeah, I mean, and the younger one, she is really into her fashion and stuff now, which is a lovely thing to see, because when she was a boy, you know, she just used to wear exactly the same stuff all the time. She had no interest in clothes whatsoever. And it's because this sort of part of her personality almost wasn't allowed to be expressed at that point. So,
and it sounds like they are both have really wonderful, really fulfilling lives. Mm-hmm. I imagine it's also not always easy. Like you say, I think there's still a lot of stigma. There's still a lot of transphobia. I think it's become such a politicized thing as well, which I always find difficult to understand, because, like, why do you even care what somebody is doing for their body and, you know, expressing who they are? Is that, yeah, something that your girls and you have experienced too?
Yeah, we've been really fortunate. I think what it is there's an awful lot of stuff in the media. And there obviously is a small group of women who object to transgender women. But actually, that's not the mainstream. But, you know, when you look at what do people care about in terms of politics, they care far more about the state of the NHS and the state of the economy than they do about trans issues. But it just is one of those issues that's very, very divisive. And I think one of the real sort of struggles for us is not to get, you know, completely in our little corners, sort of fighting each other. And I think that can happen. And then people get very frightened about speaking because they're worried about saying the wrong thing. But what I've found is that the vast majority of people, like you say, they just accept that that's someone's choice, that that's someone's life. And they accept them. The problem is when, you know, it's a lot in the media, is that people then start thinking, well, is there something to worry about? Is this a problem? I find it really difficult as a mum when there's all these suggestions that transgender women are somehow predatory, because I know my kids and I know how I've brought them up, and I really don't believe they're in any way predators.
And there's actually zero data.
Yeah, absolutely. And
it's just, you know, fear mongering.
It is. I mean, obviously, in any population, you are going to get some people who break the law. And that's as true of the transgender community as it is of any other community. So there will be the occasional time where something happens. But on the whole, you know, the vast majority of transgender people, when you think about what they've had to go through, it's incredible to, you know, to have thought at that level, you know, I am not who people think I am. And the willingness to actually be true to yourself, the willingness to risk rejection by a lot of people, it's such a strong feeling. People cannot deny that part of themselves any longer, you know, and the ridicule, I think particularly transgender women are subjected to, they go through so much. And actually that sort of fire of what they go through often makes them into really loving and forgiving people.
Yeah, because they go through so much psychologically, but also physically.
Yeah.
You know, no one would do this unless they had to do this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I recorded the first series of my podcast, which was my sort of side of things. And then I went and interviewed a whole load of transgender people for the second series. And that was so helpful. It's so helpful to meet lots of different transgender people, particularly some of the non-binary people, because I hadn't met people who are non-binary. So that was really interesting to hear their perspective. And also for most of them, that they'd known for so long. And that's actually really reassuring, I think, as a mum, when you realise that people usually do have a sense of difference. And some of them saying, you know, despite all the difficulties I've been through, I would never change it. Because there's often a narrative out there that says, oh, you know, these poor transgender people, it's terribly difficult for them. But we don't hear the other side of things, that actually they're living their best lives. Once they've come out, they are living as the person who they really feel. And like I say with my oldest daughter, how she hasn't got that little sort of ball of anger inside her any longer. It just takes away all that pressure. You can be who you are. And that immediately means that you don't have to worry about all that stuff any longer. People know who you are. I mean, obviously, there might be other things that go on in people's lives that make it more difficult. But in terms of them being themselves, I think it really releases them into being their true person. And I think that helps to release their innate creativity, for example. They can be themselves. And when they're not fighting themselves, that means they're more of a whole individual. And that helps them in their lives, in their relationships, in their work. I think it's just really cruel to expect people to hide that away.
Yeah, I mean, it's so lovely to speak to the joy. I think you're right. I think the narrative we hear a lot is the difficulties, and there are difficulties, and like no one's denying that, but to really lovely to acknowledge the joy and fulfillment as well. What you would say to parents who were really, really struggling with a child, adult or teen or young, mm-hmm. wherever they are, really, really struggling with a child of theirs that has come out as transgender or non-binary?
Yeah. Well, first off, it's really important to acknowledge and honour your own feelings, which is that it is really difficult for parents, I think. I think that's really important to acknowledge that you have your own thoughts and feelings about it. But actually, you know, if you look at the longer, what do you want in the longer term? You know, you want a healthy adult. And that's the longer picture. And if you can bracket off, you know, if you can put to one side those feelings that you've got, if you can separate them out and recognise that those are your feelings and your difficulties, but actually, in a sense, your task as a parent is to support your young person.
So maybe like find other people to talk about the hard stuff with.
Yeah.
And I would say not talk about that with your child.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because it's too much for the child. They're a child. Yeah. And even if they're your adult child, they are still your child.
Yeah.
And I think as a parent, you know, it's really important not to load your child with your own feelings. I mean, yes, you know, in a family, you do communicate, but they're not responsible for your feelings about who they are. I think that's what's really important to say. And one of the things that I had to work out in my own head was why I felt the way I did. And there's a whole mixture of things. It was because I'd had a long time of thinking of them as boys. I also had an identity as the mum of three boys, because I have another boy as well, who's cisgender. So identified myself as the mum of three boys for a long time, and I had to let go of that. And there was some sorrow attached to that because I quite enjoyed being the mum of three boys, you know, and I had to let that go. So I had sort of feelings as a mum, but those feelings, I didn't want them to get in the way of my relationship with my kids, because the most important thing was to support them. And I think the other thing I'd say to parents is it's not going to get resolved really quickly. And I came across this phrase the other day, and it's a bit of an old-fashioned phrase, but be merciful in a sense, be merciful to yourself and be merciful to them. It's going to take time for everybody to work it out. So be kind to yourself with the feelings that you've got, but also be kind to them and recognize that this is not something that's going to be resolved overnight. You know, it takes time and everybody needs to adapt. So be kind to yourself, but also give them time. And also, there isn't a rush. And although they may feel this sort of sense of urgency about getting help, one of the things in a sense that you have to support them with is that they won't get help very quickly. And so, you know, you need to be there for them, but also in a way that can be a bit reassuring as a parent that nothing's going to happen too quickly. But it can be really helpful to respect their wish for pronouns, because actually that sort of shows them that you're taking them seriously and that you're listening to them. And if they want to be called they, them, or she, her, or he, him, and want to use a different name, I mean, people, the jury's out. Some people would argue that that's actually influencing them. But I think actually what it's doing is it's just providing space and it's helping the relationship to be there. And that if you show them that you respect them, that you're treating them as though they're able to make decisions for themselves, that they have autonomy, that you respect them, you're not going to dominate them and control them.
I think pronouns and names, it's incredibly important to validate your child's experience. And if you are a parent who's also afraid of the bigger physical changes, names and pronouns, you know, those are things, they are very easy to shift. They might be hard emotionally and psychologically, but in a kind of day-to-day way, particularly as you say, if somebody's not going to be able to get the physical treatment that they might want in a timeline that they would like, and to be able to dress the way mm-hmm. that they would like,
yeah,
as well,
yeah.
And Josephine, that's been so helpful and interesting, I imagine, to lots of our listeners. Do you think you could let us know where to find you if there's people who want to find you?
Yeah.
And also any other kind of resources that you think it might be really helpful for people to have, and then we can put them on the show notes.
Oh, brilliant. So if people want to sort of listen a bit more about sort of what I went through and my sort of thoughts, and also my lovely interviews with the transgender people who are so generous in sharing their experience of what it was like, because it's very, very helpful to hear it from their perspective. They can hear me on Gloriously Unready, which is my podcast, available everywhere on all the podcast platforms. And as part of that, I do have a little handout called Help My Kid Is Trans, which I can send you the link for. And brilliant. People can download that. And it's my learnings and things that those little things, like imagine that they're a book and that it's just the cover that's changing. Those sorts of little things that really supported me along the way, that helped me to adapt. So I'd love that to help people if anybody's looking for help.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. And then, you know, there are many organisations out there who support trans people and also their families. And we will make sure to include some of those on our show notes as well. Thank you so much, Josephine. It was lovely to speak to you.
Thank you. And thanks so much, Emily, for having me.
Thank you for listening. If you want to watch the interview, it's now on my YouTube channel. I have a newsletter on Substack, so do please subscribe. And of course, if this episode you think could be helpful to anybody you know, do please share it. And to help others find us, we really appreciate it when you rate and subscribe. Thank you.